Hi.
Hi.
Welcome back.
To an episode of 6 Feet Forever.
I'm Shantae.
I'm Ebony.
It feels like it's been so long since our last episode. I was listening yesterday. I was like, did we forget to make an episode?
I don't know.
We were here.
I think a lot of things have happened in this week, and it felt
a lot of
slow.
Things happened. Lots of things happened last week. So,
oh, Mercury's in retrograde, so everything's like slowed down.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody
correct me if I'm wrong. But like, I almost fell out of my chair.
Don't do that.
Yeah. So today we're actually today is the day of the Leo full moon.
Should I be thriving at this point? Because
I think.
Okay.
I mean, but you know, full moons are very much for releasing. So, you know, releasing and allowing in new things. But a full moon is for release. The new moon is for manifesting and whatever. So if you, you know, do all that and believe in, you know, the full moons, the power of the moon or whatever, that is like what you should be doing in the next couple of days.
So I should release.
Release. Thinking, make a list of the things that no longer serve you and release. And okay. Then we're also Mercury retrograde. So technically Mercury retrograde, mm-hmm. this phase of it begins on the 30th of this month, which is what, in 2 days?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But technically, I guess, there are shadow periods before and after a Mercury retrograde that are about 2 weeks long, which is fucking trash.
Okay.
It's so annoying, but yeah.
So we'll be feeling the effects of the retrograde, I guess?
Yeah. Plus the full moon.
So 2 weeks prior and
then 2 weeks after. So I think we're technically done with the retrograde something like February 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So I really decided I didn't want to claim this shit because I still have time. I don't have time. But I guess it's, you know, Mercury retrogrades are not a good time to be like starting new things for like new projects. Communication can get fucked up. Travel can get fucked up. If you had something, it's like if you had something in the works already, by all means, keep going through with it. But it's said you're not supposed to start a new thing, like a new contracted agreement during the retrograde. It's a lot to think about. And it's really...
What if you were like an actor, you're doing like a project.
You know what I'm saying? It's stressful. So that's why I said I don't want to claim it. Like, I really don't...
I'm just going to continue in my ignorance, pretend like we didn't have this conversation because I don't know what you're talking about.
Because
I got things to do.
No, so many things to do. And it's just...
Interesting.
But okay. Yeah, how's your week been?
It's been cool. It's been just pretty lax this week. Just lots of reading for me, I can't say lots of reading, but reading for me and just redecorating and things like that and just changing things around and letting things go.
Right. Well, see, look at that.
Hey.
You did it and nobody even told you.
That's crazy. Look at that.
Yeah, I think it's been a productive week.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've had, you know, auditions. There's just a lot, like, I don't know. There's a lot going on. It's, you know, February is always, I always feel like February is like busy.
Mm-hmm.
February, you know, it's Black History Month. There's a lot of stuff going on, you know, whatever, Valentine's Day. But like,
I can never remember February. It goes by so quickly.
It does. And it's always filled with shit. Just mark my words. There's always so much.
Interesting. Okay.
So yeah, I'm just trying to kind of chill because I feel like a lot is coming. So I don't know.
Getting prepared? Good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So for this week's business shout out, we want to shout out our friend, Darren Padanumotana.
I just call her Darren P because, sorry girl, I don't know how to say your name.
So she's an artist. She draws and things like that, but she's also a screen printer. So she creates she makes a lot of prints. She makes pillows, bandanas,
postcards, little knickknacks, just little really cute, whimsical,
buttons,
fun things.
Pins, stuff like that. It's very cute. It's hard. How would you describe her style? It's very cheeky.
Yeah.
Everything is very
quirky,
funny.
It's fun, but it's like really bright colors, mm-hmm. which... It's just why I said whimsical, because I think of like colors with that.
The designs are so cute. Is mm-hmm. that kind of almost Venice Beach type style? I don't know. It's so specific.
She's just a unique girl.
Yeah. She's got a lot of cool stuff. So her website is called mynameisnotdarren.com, because her name is spelled D-A-R-R-I-N and people always try to call her Darren and that's not her name. So if you want to check out her Etsy shop, she's offering for our listeners in the month of February 15% off. And so it's www.etsy.com/shop/ My Name Is Not Darren. Darren spelled D as in David, A-R-R-E-N. And we will definitely include a link on our Instagram and Twitter so that you guys can get that, because that might have been confusing. But yeah, so 15.
That's our girl.
That's our girl. 15% off for our listeners. And yeah, please check her out regardless. On her Insta too, My Name Is Not Darren. Mm-hmm. It's she's got some really cute stuff. You know, something for everybody. Shall we get into these
hot topics?
Hot topics.
Yes.
It's a lot. It's a lot of news this week. So okay, just hang on to your hats. So this fucked me up when I read this. So there is a Thai coconut milk company. I don't know how to say this, so forgive me. I think it's Chow Co coconut milk.
Is it in a brown can?
I don't know, but the article that I read, Target has joined Costco and other retailers in dropping Chow Co coconut milk.
Why?
Because in their factories, they discovered that they are using monkey labor.
What?
That's exactly what I said. I had to stop. I said, pardon? Yeah, they're exploiting the labor of monkeys. And PETA saw that shit and PETA said, no, you shan't. They said, we believe in the humane treatment of animals and expect those who do business with us to do the same. Oh, that's what Target said. Sorry. They said, we take seriously the claims made against Chow Co. And given they were unable to sufficiently address the concerns raised, we made the decision to remove their product from our assortment in November 2020. So this happened a minute ago, but I think it's just being kind of brought to the surface.
That is insane to me.
I don't even...
How does that look like? What does that look like? How do you set that up for me? You walk into your job. Because obviously there has to be some one or two humans there, correct? How are you managing monkeys? I understand they're incredibly intelligent and very close to us in species. So it makes... I understand that part. How are you managing monkeys, though? Like, what?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure in a very fucked up way. I'm sure they're, like, chained doing whatever. Shit. And it's very easy to teach a monkey a basic task like that. Like, do this over and over or I hurt you. And then, you know.
How many monkeys?
It's not giving me... I was not able to find a whole lot of... Oh, okay. Well, so Chow Co came out with a statement that saying, following the recent news about the use of monkey labor in Thailand's coconut industry, Chow Co, one of the world's leaders in coconut milk production, reassures that we do not engage the use of monkey labor in our coconut plantations. The company has said in a previous statement, which noted that its suppliers have signed memorandums of understanding that no monkey labor is at their farms. I'm assuming they're lying.
Oh, my gosh.
PETA is a very powerful organization, and
how do they get in there? How do they know that
they, what am I trying to say, have like in it like a secret informant or something?
Sure.
Like that. Yeah, just go in under the guise of, I'm gonna try to get a job here or something like that. I'm sure more will come out about that.
Oh my god, that's the coconut milk we grew up on is Jamaicans. That's what I was trying to figure out. I looked it up and it is the coconut milk. It has like a brown lettering and it's in a can. That is my mom's favorite coconut milk. I feel terrible. Not anymore. How long do you think they've been doing that?
Probably for a very long time.
I'm shooketh.
No, that's...
Oh my God.
Motherfuckers are crazy.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that...
Sorry, girl.
Disturbed me.
I'm sorry.
I just read it and I was right like, now.
Excuse me? How is this a real story?
But also, like, hygiene-wise, how are they even... Monkeys are... They lick their own buttholes and stuff like that, and their partner's buttholes. I mean, humans do that, too.
Do you want to get deep into this? Because I don't... How do you sanitize a monkey?
I'm bothered. I'm very bothered by this story. And you don't get to do hot topics anymore. No.
Just wait, girl. I got more.
Oh, good. What's next?
Let's see. I'm just trying to see what's the best order to do these. Most of these stories are horrifying.
Great.
Oh, I do want to, before we continue, just say rest in peace to Cloris Leachman. She passed away yesterday at the age of 94. If you don't know who she is, which you might not, she's clearly, you know, out of our sort of age range.
Yeah.
But She used to be on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. She mm-hmm. played the character of Phyllis on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And she was so popular on that show. She got her own spinoff. Just very, she's honestly was a very good actor. She was hilarious. Mm-hmm. But just also she won an Academy Award for a very serious role.
I think later on, I think a lot of people will remember her. I mean, in our age range is the guest star role she did. From probably like 75 on, because that's how I remember her. I don't have an image of her young.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people will know her. She was the grandma in Bad Santa. if that means anything to you.
Yeah.
But she was, you know, by all accounts, she was very awesome to work with. So, you know, she seemed like a nice lady and she had a long and, you know, thriving career and a long life. So
yeah, what we all are striving for.
Thankful for that. But yes, rest in peace, ma'am. Thank you for
amazing
for all the years. What else? What 94. Else?
Wow.
Well, since we're in the entertainment mm-hmm. sector already, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the movies that, you know, some of the movies that have been coming out lately. It seems all very like there's a lot of like biopic type films. We just watched One Night in Miami,
mm-hmm.
which is the film that Regina King it was her directed. Directorial debut, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize this before. It's based on a play. And the playwright also wrote the screenplay, like adapted it for film.
I think the credits might have said that.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we watched it together, but like, I just, I thought it was so good. I thought it was so well done.
Sure.
On Regina King's behalf, just everybody killed it. All of the actors, the casting I thought was spot on.
For sure. There was backlash for the actor who plays, Malcolm X mm-hmm. in the initial casting, and Regina King stood by her her decision, and she said, you know what, the best actor got the role. Mm-hmm. And if you watch that film there, I can't imagine anyone else playing that role. He really did do a phenomenal job. He had this, I guess we were talking about this, but he had this, like, you know when you know something's gonna explode, but it has like that, okay, think of like when you're cooking like a stew or something like that, and you've got that low that like low simmer under like a low fire,
yeah,
and it's just he had that like,
yes,
simmering feel that something was going to explode mm-hmm. throughout the entire film, and he carried that so well. And we didn't see anything, I guess, tragic happen,
mm-hmm.
But the way he portrayed Malcolm X and how you could just tell there was something going on. There's mm-hmm. always something else going on with Malcolm X. I mean, he could be talking about ice cream like he did in one of the scenes, but like in his internal dialogue, you could just see that something was going to happen. And he just, what was his name?
Ben Kingsley Adair.
He just did such an excellent job.
So good.
Of that vulnerability.
And I'm not super familiar with his work. I watched him in High Fidelity.
That was it.
That's all I'd seen him in. I was so impressed with him. Mm-hmm. With all of them, really. Shout out to the dialect coach, because mm-hmm. everybody's dialect was spot. Not even just the dialects, but the you know, the idiosyncrasies of each of those men's speech.
Sure.
They just had, oh my God, the dude that
Leslie?
Or no, what? Him too, but the guy that played Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. But he... I was just very impressed. I was delighted. You have to really, because it is based on a play, it's very dialogue heavy. It's very character driven. Mm-hmm. So if you don't enjoy films like that, that might not really be up your alley. But I was just like, I love shit like that. I was mm-hmm. delighted. I was like, this is, I thought it was
That
so
makes
good.
Sense why it was so character heavy. Because mm-hmm. you mentioned that it was a play before.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is taking place in all in one night, you know? And
oh yeah, you did say that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked it a lot. We watched Judas and the Black Messiah.
Mm-hmm. That was another really good film.
Also, too, these are all, you know, a lot of these are all surrounding politics. And, you know, it's like a snapshot of what it was like being Black during very specific movements in these periods of time. And so they are not the lightest watch.
Definitely
so just know that.
Definitely not.
But I actually hadn't heard much about Judas and the Black Messiah. I heard about this when they first cast it, I think,
mm-hmm.
and then never anything else. And I don't know about you. I'm not really even sure how you felt about it. I was blown away, girl.
Were you?
Yeah, because it's about the Black Panther Party and Fred Hampton's role in that. But I just learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that the film was written and laid out, I felt it was very like poignant. I feel like it did its job because felt fucked up after I watched it.
Yeah, I think my major critique was just that I think the mixing of the the screen that we got was just low, so it was just very hard to understand. Because I did discuss it with a director, and he said that it might have just been how it sounded just from that screening that they had given us. So it probably sounds better.
It was very hard. I found it very, very hard to understand, specifically mm-hmm. Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah.
But I didn't know, you guys did mention like it sounded weird. So maybe the whole thing was off.
I think One Night in Miami probably takes the cake for me there on between the two projects that we're just discussing now, though. But yeah.
Very impressive work. There's a couple more coming out that I got to see, but The United States versus Billie Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Andra Day is playing Billie Holiday, which I found interesting.
When is that released?
I think soon. That's going to be on Hulu. The release date is February 26th of this year. The White Tiger is another one that looks good. That one's Priyanka Chopra's in that one.
And love her.
It's about a young man, I think, who is like a servant to her family in India.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, I think it's very like focused on the poverty line in India and how different people's lives are who live in poverty and who don't. And he's trying to make something out of his life and whatnot. And saw the preview yesterday and looked really interesting. So looking forward to that.
Interesting. I'm watching Your Honor.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. On Amazon Prime, I guess Showtime. And it deals with the caste system here. You know, the black versus poor, rich versus black versus white, rich versus poor mm-hmm. dynamic. Bryan Cranston is the lead. It's heavy content, but it's very raw. It's just, it feels like something that could definitely, you can see happening.
Mm-hmm.
The whole premise of the show is that Bryan Cranston's son does something, an accident happens, and he basically is trying to cover up for his son. So that's the gist of it. It's only on episode 7 now, so there's 3 more to go, and they release them weekly, so I think there's 3 more to go.
Is he a judge?
He is a judge.
Okay.
And you really get to see how lives are easily fucked up,
right?
And how money alters whose life gets fucked up. I gotta really stop watching this heavy shit, really, because my anxiety has been through the roof this week, and I think that's why I think all of these projects, I just soak them up, and it's been heavy.
For
and also,
sure.
I just finished Handmaid's Tale. So that's exactly why I feel this way. I really got to start watching something light, which I am. I'm watching Flack, which is fucking hilarious.
What is that? God.
It's with Sookie from, what was that one vampire show?
Oh.
That's her real name.
True Blood.
Yeah. So the lead actress from that is in this new show, and she basically is, and it's fun and it's light, actually, and I appreciate that. So I've moved on to something better.
You finished A Handmaid's Tale?
Jermaine and I finished Handmaid's Tale. Yes, we did.
How many seasons is that?
But how many seasons? It was 3.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like 6, and I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, no wonder you feel fucked up.
No, it was 3. It's really good.
You clearly haven't been sleeping.
I haven't.
So to sort of change it up a bit, did you hear that China is starting to use anal swabs to test high-risk
people for COVID? I read that earlier.
People for
COVID. I ignored it because you know what? I'm choosing peace today.
I thought it was a joke, and it's dead ass.
Apparently, I did read. Apparently, it's more effective in finding out if you have COVID or not.
It couldn't be me, bro.
I think it has something to do with the frequency in which people don't wash their butts.
Huh?
Because, okay, so like if you do nasal or you do oral swab, like you're constantly eating, there are constantly particles there that are flushed out with other particles like water, liquids, foods. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I think that's that's happening. And then if you like
specifically in men who supposedly barely wipe their asses.
Yeah, whereas like you touch your hopefully you at least wash your ass once a day. Right?
Okay.
So I'm just saying the time.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, sorry.
This is a fucking commercial for a bidet, which I will be getting. The anal swabs method can increase the detection rate of infected people as traces of the virus linger longer in the anus than in the respiratory tract. You were right.
I say this.
Okay, well, just know if that gets popular here, I'm going to be in the house.
It's a little swab. You'll be fine.
Did you see this interview that Joe Biden had, or not interview, the call he had with Vladimir Putin?
Mm-mm.
So apparently like it went well.
Mm-hmm.
They extended the New START treaty, which is basically a nuclear arms reduction treaty between the US and Russia. And Biden was talking about how, you know, he didn't appreciate, you know, it's like not acceptable their interference in the elections. It's not, you know, all of this stuff, but it's like, which is great. I guess it's the call was considered a success. Mm-hmm. But it's like, is nobody going to at any point hold them accountable for what they actually did? They literally put bounties on soldiers' head. They've been interfering with our election since 2016.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going to happen? Like, why are we, what?
Good question. Is anyone going to hold them accountable? No.
Apparently, we don't do that. We just don't hold old white men accountable for any of their fuck shit. And it's really, is really draining. But... well, hopefully they won't, you know, try to blow us up, but that's also probably not true. So
I think that's probably it. I think we're so unsure of what Russia is capable of. Actually, we know what they're capable of, and we just don't want to open this a can of worms. I don't know if we want to go to war with Russia.
Well, no, because I think that, well, I don't know. Is China technically our ally?
So they say.
But I think if it really went down, China might side with Russia. I don't know.
Yeah.
It might help them. Yeah. That's like, really speculation on my behalf, but that's just how I feel. It won Miss Keisha Cole was in a versus battle with Ashanti last week. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys watched. Unfortunately, we did. It was strange.
It was.
It started, what was it, an hour and 16 minutes late?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Something like that. Ashanti eventually came out, I think, at that time, and then was just kind of out there on her own for a whole nother 30 minutes or so.
Uh-huh.
Waiting for Keisha to come out. And then Keisha came out and seemed kind of like agitated.
Yeah.
About something that could clearly happen backstage. So we were all just sat here sort of like, okay. Mm-hmm. And... it was fine. It just wasn't really fun.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was they did themselves no justice by not being prepared. Keisha came out a few days after and said that her internet or the video was blurry, which mm-hmm. I did notice. And she said that she wasn't going to come out until that was fixed. But I feel like that was fixed even before, like 30, 40 minutes before she even came out. And then, yeah, I mean, they pushed this thing back twice. And then the third time, they were late. I just think it was just poorly executed.
Very.
But I mean, their numbers, as far as how many people they reached, was insane. I just can't imagine what it would have been like had they started on time, had they been professional, had it been less, I don't know, in times... the energy between the two of them was just like
it seemed like Ashanti was trying really hard to be upbeat regardless if she was irritated or not, but I don't, that's always like a weird situation to be in. You saying, oh, it was blurry, I'm thinking back to Erykah Badu and Jill Scott or like any of those other ones that were kind of like the first ones. Them mm-hmm. shits was blurry as hell. Mm-hmm. Nobody cared.
No,
we weren't on there to like necessarily see them. But I mean, yes, but like it was about the music.
But I think Versus, I think the early days of Versus was so fun.
Yeah.
And that it's just like, it was literally just about the music. Erykah Badu had on her typical scarf. It wasn't like overdone. Even Jill Scott was just in her studio, had some lip gloss on, looked on. First of all, she always looks beautiful and just kept it simple and got to the music. And that was, we just vibed on that. One.
It's too much. It's become too much of a production. And I really, it's like at this point, I'm like, I low-key don't even care. Like, I can't be bothered.
I think that's what happens when you include million-dollar companies, multi-million dollar companies. Apple Music is now a part. Ciroc is now a part. Doritos is now a part of it, sponsoring them. And among so many other companies. So I think, I think it's lost its je ne sais quoi, its spark.
This says, so Keisha came out and said, I want to apologize for not sitting my ass in that seat because I was there and should have sat down. She said during an Instagram live session, I should have just sat in a seat no matter if I felt like the visual wasn't clear or they said my music wasn't going to be right or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. You should have done that.
You really should have done that.
But you didn't. And so then you cost yourself.
Because then too, it felt weird when she was like, okay, wait, can I, well, so I need to play my new song.
Yeah, girl, you had all the time.
Really?
In the beginning,
everybody's tired now.
But also, Versus is not a time to play your new song. Like, nobody wants to. Everybody's trying to jam to stuff that they already know from you.
Right. Well, I feel like she did. I mean, she was nice and played it last. But, like, who else did that? Was it Brandy or Monica? I can't remember which one played the new song.
But also, Brandy and Monica came through and did the damn thing.
True. They did.
And, yeah. There's this huge discussion about who should go next, and people are like, well, it should be Usher versus Justin Timberlake. And what do you think? I know you have real thoughts. Oh, give it to me, Rod. Don't play with me. Don't think too much.
Think it doesn't. That doesn't need to happen. I think people are. That's honestly, that's a hard thing to say, because I think people are trying to match up people who actually are a matchup.
That's not a matchup, baby.
What?
Usher and Justin Timberlake? Usher and
Justin Timberlake?
No. Usher will wipe his ass with Justin Timberlake.
See, I disagree. I think they're very well matched in, like, I guess, popularity and the amount of bops each of them have. Just because you don't prefer Justin Timberlake's music,
Michael Jackson had Usher, had specifically wanted Usher to perform at his birthday party.
That doesn't mean that.
What you mean?
That doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
So who should match up with Usher?
I don't know if anyone can.
Justin Timberlake could. That's what I'm saying.
I think
that's
so.
Why they pulled Justin Timberlake out the hat, because I can't think of anybody else, like, in terms of that genre of music, that period of time that they were out, that level of world-renowned popularity. Who else?
I wholeheartedly disagree.
That's fine. But Justin Timberlake, popularity-wise, hits-wise.
We're not talking... I don't agree. I think Usher was 13 when his first... 14 maybe when his first album came out. Usher could do a versus off of just that album in 8701, not to mention the ones that came after. What albums do you know from Justin Timberlake that Justin Timberlake's gonna be like, an entire album that he could sit there and
but
play?
He was in an entire boy band.
We're just talking about Justin Timberlake, though.
That's not true, because in the versus stuff, they play stuff that they wrote.
He can't play stuff from his boy band.
They play stuff that they wrote for other people.
This is
they
what I'm saying,
tracks
though.
That
like
they were like producers on.
That's what
stuff.
I'm even saying. Usher could hold his own. He doesn't even need a boy band.
That's
to
fine.
Be.
But what I'm saying is, in terms of like who could battle Usher, I 100% think it could be. They were both. Just no. How old was Justin Timberlake when NSYNC came out? You can't discount NSYNC.
No,
NSYNC's popularity around the world.
Listen,
you absolutely cannot.
No,
it's NSYNC is either more popular than Usher. Or at least the same.
I'm going to stand on what I said. Usher will wipe the floor with Justin Timberlake.
You can say that in terms of like your opinion of who's
It's just everybody's opinion though.
No, that's not. I'm talking about actual numbers.
I'm saying that everybody's going to have their own
but
opinion.
I'm not talking about like Usher's. Do you think Usher's music is better than Justin Timberlake? I'm talking about like numbers. During the time that they were in their prime and all of this, you're not going to sit here and tell me that NSYNC...
I'm not talking about NSYNC,
but I'm
though.
Telling you, they when they do verses.
This is why he's not a good matchup, because if you can't play off of just solo songs, then you shouldn't be able to.
But then
to.
That's what I'm saying. Like, then other people on verses shouldn't be able to just play tracks that they...
Who did, though?
E-40 and Too Short?
They're producers, though. That's an...
Ashanti played a... Didn't she play a J-Lo song?
That she was backup on.
That's not her song. That's J-Lo's song.
She wrote the song, though.
Do you see what I'm saying, though?
Maybe
it's not. I'm saying, like, it's not just about, like, oh, Justin Timberlake did this, like, by himself or whatever. Like, Ashanti was backup on a song that she wrote, but it was Jennifer Lopez's song.
But if you listen... Okay, so if we
so
do
I'm
that...
So I'm saying, like, it's not just like, oh, they did this as a solo artist and they sung this song. Like, if we're matching up like that... Then maybe, yeah, but if like we're doing their entire body of work, NSYNC was another story compared to Usher.
But you can't be like, oh, let me play some NSYNC, but there's four other people on this
they
track.
They absolutely could.
No.
Why is that different? Why is it different if Ashanti plays a J-Lo track that
because
she was
on? Because Ashanti was on the track that she played
Justin
for J-Lo.
Timberlake was on the NSYNC track that he might have helped write and sing. Like, what?
What is he going to play? Like, how is it 10 songs or 20 songs? What is it? It's 20, right? So he's going to play 10 NSYNC songs?
No, I'm not saying he has to do that.
Then it's NSYNC versus Usher, and Usher would still be whoop ass.
Girl, the worldwide hold that NSYNC had?
Okay.
I'm not saying that he could play all NSYNC songs, but I'm saying he can come with an NSYNC song. I don't know if there's anybody else, artist-wise, that could go up with Usher. And they would even have a relevant amount of work to present. Whom?
I'm just gonna disagree. I don't know what else to say to you.
You don't think it should be Justin Timberlake because you don't think he's a matchup to Usher.
Oh yeah, I don't think that if Justin Timberlake, okay, you can throw in two NSYNC songs, but that's it. What are the other 18 songs that you're gonna come out of
Ebony,
Justin Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake has had like five albums or something. solo.
I want you to name five songs.
I can't name five Usher songs.
I can't.
I don't know the names of songs.
I can name every single song off 8701, okay, Confessions.
But you're one person. So I'm saying there's like also millions of people, probably billions of people who love Justin Timberlake too. I'm just saying, just because you're not a Justin Timberlake fan.
I'm not a Justin Timberlake fan. I just don't think he can go up against Usher.
That's fair. There's a lot of people that don't think he should be on it because this is like a family thing. This is like just supposed to be for us. Why does everybody need to be in it now? Type shit.
Okay.
But I honestly haven't even heard that outside of you saying it. I don't think that if that's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I guess Drake contacted Timberland and said that's what he would like to see. And I'm like, you want to see him get hurt, don't you? I don't think it's a battle to the end. I really don't. But I am open to being wrong. I will say that.
I'm just saying in terms of like the amount of hits, I think Justin Timberlake could match him. I think he could match him. I'm not saying that he's better than Usher.
Without NSYNC?
Yes, girl.
Okay.
But also with NSYNC.
You cannot include NSYNC. No.
I'm standing by this. If other people
okay, then NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys then.
That is understandably. But I'm saying you also can't completely discount the music that Justin Timberlake made when he was in his youth.
I did not discount. I'm just saying he's not my matchup for Usher.
No, but I'm saying I think he could come out with an NSYNC song. If people can use shit that they wrote or produced that weren't even actually on, or that Ashanti wrote and was a backup singer on, but that was a J-Lo vehicle, that was
they have
of
how many
album.
Albums do they have, like three or four?
Who?
NSYNC?
Yeah.
See, Ashanti didn't do no other artists on the Versus platform or battle came out and had like.
That's not our problem.
What are you saying?
That's not our problem.
No, but you can't do that though. Why? That's why it has to be an even matchup. You can't. That's four. That's 5-1. That's like five.
Why?
How many fans to one Usher person?
No, I'm not saying like for him to just like blast the thing with all NSYNC songs, but he gets to put like an NSYNC banger on that bitch. It was part of his career.
No
career.
No,
you can't give that to some people but not to others.
Wait, Ashanti,
that's not my fault.
Who
that's
else,
not my
though?
Fault
who
that Ashanti
else?
Made one
nobody
album.
Else did that though.
What?
Nobody else in the Versus pulled
I'm telling
E-40
you
E-40 and Too Short.
But if Ashanti can do that, I don't give a fuck if Ashanti only had one album. That's not nobody's problem. If your shit wasn't all bangers on the album, I'm sorry.
Okay, I really want them to go toe-to-toe because
so you're up for it. But you think it's okay to bring Justin Timberlake into the circle of Verses and say, come along, children,
you know what?
Listen to the songs.
No, because you know why? Justin Timberlake let Janet Jackson take mm-hmm. that hit and literally just retreated and didn't step up and say, you know what? We were in this together. And the privilege of a white man is that people will overlook that shit. Janet got fined. She lost coins because of it.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of things that went down. And I just didn't know how he ended up. Also, he messed around and hurt his wife's heart.
Oh, so I don't really know what happened with that. I'm not even going
to. Not good with people business, but like.
But I just did.
I loved her. I love her.
Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
I don't think. I wasn't pleased with his reaction to. This was years ago now, but it was initially, I think, when Black Lives Matter was really gaining notoriety. He was just like trying to come from a different perspective, and he ended up putting his foot in his mouth, and people were like, yo, you have made a career off the back of Black music for your entire shit, and like that's all you gotta say, or that's how you feel for real. And so it's like he kind of lost a lot of support mm-hmm. from the community for that reason.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm kind of like,
I think that was a huge shift for him there.
Yeah, and then when he came out with that Man of the Wild album or whatever it's called, yeah. Everybody was
and
like,
we didn't listen
girl.
To it.
So I don't. That's why I thought everybody was like, "No, Justin Timberlake."
Oh, I think it's an for us by us type of thing.
I don't disagree with that. That's fine. It would be cool if we could just have some shit that just is ours. But clearly, you're an Usher stan.
I am.
I had no idea that
no,
she loved Usher
I do like,
this much.
Listen,
I'm gonna buy you a T-shirt. Now I know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
Oh, 8701 was my mother. Jam.
I will find
okay,
it. And if it doesn't exist, bitch, I'll get it made. You gonna have it regardless. Get you a matching hat and socks as well.
Sorry, you guys had to see me out of natural form.
No, it's good. It's exciting. It's exciting for people. Chloe Bailey.
Showing out.
Stepped on our throats once again in the new silhouette challenge.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I was thinking of something else. I didn't realize that she was doing the silhouette challenge at that time. I just thought she was just dancing in her room. I didn't realize. Now it's clicking. Oh, that was the silhouette challenge.
You know, she was just showing out.
Insane.
It's insane.
It really is.
It's very just awe-inducing. But she slayed it in the silhouette challenge. And I'm just like, y'all can continue if you want. I think it's over now. She won it once again.
Yeah, for sure.
If you didn't see her bust a challenge, go ahead and do yourself a favor. Because she's the one who ended it. If you're wondering why it's not happening anymore, Chloe Bailey shat on everybody's lives and it's over. So we have a new one, Silhouette, that was clearly made by her for her. Truly. And that just may as well be over now, too.
That was done as well. I can't participate in these things because the body of a teenage boy.
I think that would be fun to see, though. You should do it.
You're now the third.
Just take a shot and just
let loose. No.
To be continued. We'll see. We'll let you know.
I will. I keep saying I'm going to join in on one of these challenges, but they go so fast. You get the production has to be like,
and you got to get your courage up to do it. It's like it's always stuff that's very vulnerable shit.
I know. By the time you do that shit, it's done. I knew I couldn't do the busted challenge because I just knew.
I'm gonna let you know I've been practicing.
Have you?
And I just got it to the point that I was like, oh, I should have did that. Should have did it. Showed everybody who the fuck they were fucking with.
At least have it in your.
I still got knees.
What?
Your knees? I've still got knees. I've got a little bit of knees left.
Corona.
I feel like we should make a section of the podcast where I talk about like the week's science news because this shit be blowing my mind. So, a physicist has worked out the math that makes paradox-free time travel plausible. Did you hear me? If you didn't, I'll say it again.
You can't do that.
A physicist has worked out the math that makes paradox-free time travel plausible, meaning that you could travel through time without consequence.
How? That's not even possible.
It says it's not easy for non-mathematicians to dig into, so should I even bother? But apparently, the math checks out.
Ain't mathing for me.
Physicist Fabio Costa from the University of Queensland supervised the research. He said the new research smooths out the problem with another hypothesis that time travel is possible, but that time travelers would be restricted in what they did to stop them creating a paradox. In this model, time travelers have the freedom to do whatever they want, but paradoxes are not possible. While the numbers might work out, actually bending space and time to get into the past remains elusive. The time machines that scientists have devised so far are so high concept that they currently only exist as calculations on a page. Whew, we're not ready for time travel. I'm glad that's just hypothetical right now. They made it sound like they were shooting motherfuckers into space and just
we're
into
not ready
other
for time
dimensions
travel
of time.
For a number of reasons. One,
we're not responsible.
That's true. Two, who would be in charge of this? They would be able to just go and like,
oh my God.
There's just so many. No.
Yeah. I read it and my soul collapsed. I said, you know.
Your soul collapsed?
That's frightening.
That's funny.
Have you guys heard about Kepler 22b, which is a super Earth that is potentially covered in a super ocean? And it's supposedly like, it's 2.4 times the size of Earth's radius. And it might even be a gaseous planet, but it's like, I think they're considering it for an option for like when we inevitably destroy this shit here that we're living on. I had seen this, strangely enough, not kidding, in like, I think it was like 2008 or 9, mm-hmm. and I had the news on, and they were talking about it, and it was like, I was like, what? And then I never saw it again. I could never find anything about it. I was like, what? Like, and no, I was like trying to explain it to people and everybody was like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, what was that? Did I see the future? Like, was that shown to me?
Physicist?
Will I be the first to step foot on Kepler 22b? It was weird. So I think this is the same one. So I saw this and I was like, oh, this would be crazy. But I would get shot up into space and land on Kepler 22b. I'm not going to Mars. I promise you that.
No.
No desire to live on Mars mm-hmm. in like a permanent bubble.
Oh.
No. Yeah. I'll die here. I'll suffocate on Earth before I travel to Mars. Last science news. I think this one kind of scared me the most. This is out of Hong Kong. Makers of Sophia the Robot plan mass rollout amidst the pandemic. So Sophia is a social robot that can take care of the sick or elderly.
Sophia the Robot?
Hold yeah, on, she's very lifelike.
I knew it.
She looks exactly the way Killer Robot would look. Sophia can help communicate, give therapy, and provide social stimulation, even in difficult situations.
And how? How does she have the mental or the emotional?
It's a humanoid robot.
What is her name?
Sophia. Who wants this?
People. Oh, I don't like her face. She's
I'm telling
looking.
You. Doesn't she look like she would bite you in the face?
Mm-mm, we don't need any. Her real name should be Karen.
Also, it was rolled out in Hong Kong. Why doesn't she look like she's from Hong Kong? I don't under... Like, why?
Because even they know how powerful a white, tall lady is.
Says Sophia and... Oh, there's another... The male counterpart is called Hansen, apparently. So Sophia and Hansen robots are unique by being so human-like that can be so useful during these times where people are terribly lonely and socially isolated. Motherfuckers need to learn how to be alone because I will be damned.
Wait, I'm looking at... Oh, she's scary. So scary.
Is that all you're worried about, Ebony? Because this has real social implications.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm worried about her physicality. She's scary.
Oh my god, we don't have time for fucking robots. We can't even get it together as people.
Who doesn't have time? No, actually.
Did you watch
Strong?
Probably. It's helping somebody with physical therapy.
That's nice.
Ebony, stop it. We don't need this.
That's nice. Think about if we have robots. We could just
I have and I don't think it's a good move.
I'm just saying.
What? What are they going to do?
Multiply and help lots of people all over the world.
The robots are going to take our jobs.
Do you want to work?
Ebony, just wait. Wait till there's a robot on the screen in an acting role that could have been yours, and then you're going to have a lot to say.
Listen, by the time this all happens, Ebony will have been retired.
It's rolling out now amidst the pandemic.
I said what I said.
Are you going to let a robot raise your baby?
Girl, hell yeah. They don't get tired. Just get recharged, but they don't get tired. And then you could like tell it things to tell your baby. Like, it's just perfect. It's incapable of flaw. That's
not even true.
Well, like mental flaws.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, there's also the aspect. There's also the point of like emotional love and emotional things that you need to give your child. But other than that, this could read to your kid, take your kid to the park, take your kid to soccer practice.
So what did you have the kid for?
You know? You're making valid points.
It's only a matter of time before
so
we're their servants.
Since I got a robot.
You have a baby, they just give you a robot with it.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
Have a baby.
I'm very interested in knowing what other people think. Please, if you feel so inclined, please, after you listen to this or while you're listening to this right now, slide in our DMs or send us an email at 6feetforever@gmail.com and let me know if you're on the side of yay for robots or nay for robots. Because I'm very, like, honestly very nervous about this. I'm joking, but this is very scary to me. But Ebony is on the pro side of robots. Yeah. So I'm just really interested to see what the masses are thinking.
Listen, robots don't need water. They don't need food. They don't need resources that we are, you know, depleting every day.
Well, we're not going to stop making people just because there's robots.
We might.
What?
We make people so that we... why do we make people? I don't know. I mean,
this
I know
is bringing up a lot
that.
Of questions. So what are you going to like have a baby robot and like upgrade it to like it's a toddler robot?
I don't think they come in baby size.
So
what?
So actually, though, it is using resources to create the robot body.
What sort of resources?
I don't know. I'm assuming minerals from Africa because that's where they steal everything else from. It's probably why China's fucking over there building stuff on the
Western coast of Africa. I would like a robot to go to the grocery store for me right now. I just think you're thinking of it and like they're going to take over. They're going to
be
like...
Yeah, they are. No, they're going to become sentient beings and they're going to rule the world and we're going to be their servants.
They're just like computers. You just... Whatever information you... They don't think... They're not independent thinkers.
Just wait. You didn't watch iRobot.
I did watch iRobot. That's not a real thing. They're not going to like...
I just want everybody to listen to this now because when inevitably these motherfuckers take over,
they're not.
I'm going to replay this episode. I'm going to have my robot replay this episode.
My robot. So you will have one. See?
I don't want that
Pro
shit.
Robot.
I really don't want it. Story time?
All right, story time. This is the disappearance of Alexis Patterson. Here we go. Alexis Patterson was born on April 4th, 1995 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The daughter of parents, Ayanna Patterson and Kenya Campbell. She was known to be bubbly, a bossy personality. Yes, girl, bossy. Affectionately referred to as Lexi or Pi. In 2002, Alexis was living in Milwaukee with her mother and her stepfather, LaRon Burgo, and her six-month-old sister. The family was very close. They lived in a house near 49th Street and Garfield Avenue. The residence was located just a half a block from High Mount Boulevard School, where Alexis was in the first grade and said to have perfect attendance record. In January 2002, Alexis's father, Kenny, was charged with misdemeanor battery and misdemeanor bail jumping, charges that would later be dismissed in May of that year. Just 2 months later, he was charged with repeatedly driving with a revoked license and was imprisoned. On May 1st, 2002, the city of Milwaukee filed a civil suit against him, seeking $7,500 in damages for what they said was negligent operation of a motor vehicle. Sources say Kenya had posted a $100 bond in relation to the charges 2 days before his daughter went missing. However, the police said he wasn't released until May 6, 2002, 3 days after her disappearance. 2 weeks before Alexis went missing, parents at High Mount Boulevard School, again, that's where she went to school, had received letters warning them of a man who tried to abduct a little boy near the school. A week later, a teacher spotted Alexis talking to an unknown woman at the back of the school. Despite being lectured by her mom, she was seen talking to the same woman 2 days later, which worried her mom.
Wait. Like, did nobody say something to the woman the first time?
Apparently, yeah, they said that, and they notified her mom, Ayanna. Uh-huh. And said, hey, this is what's happening. And her mom approached Alexis and said, hey, stay away from this lady. On May 2nd, 2002, Alexis and her mother got into an argument because she failed to complete her homework that was due the next day. As a result, she told her that she wouldn't bring her cupcakes. May 3rd was her day to bring snacks to class. At 8 o'clock the next day, LaRon walked Alexis to school. LaRon is the stepfather, which was located at 4291 West Garfield Avenue. He walked her across the crosswalk towards the school's playground before he returned to the house. So he dropped her off at school. That day, Alexis did not attend any of her classes. Many students reported seeing her crying on the playground before, both during and after the school day had ended, but none recalled seeing her in school itself. However, despite this, Alexis's parents were not notified of her absence until after classes had been dismissed for the day. As Alexis had no history of running away, Ayanna and LaRon initially believed that she refused to attend classes because of the argument that she had with her mom prior.
Wait, this is a little kid in first grade?
Yeah, girl.
So that's like seven?
Mm-hmm. At 3 p.m., shortly after learning of her daughter's disappearance, Ayanna contacted local police. It took them approximately an hour to respond. Upon arriving at the Patterson home, police agreed with the potential scenario presented by Alexis's parents. However, given that she hadn't returned yet, they felt something at the playground may have contributed to her disappearance. Immediately after, there was an investigation or a search party. Parts of the investigation included boats, motorcycles, helicopters, horsebacks, hundreds of citizens volunteering to try to find her. Upon speaking with some of Alexis's classmates, it was learned that a red truck had been spotted near the school for most of the week, near appearing during the drop-off or pickup spot. But no one could identify who was driving the red pickup truck. Kenya learned of his daughter's disappearance, so he says, via local news coverage. On May 6, 2002, he was released from prison and was questioned by the police, who said that he had fully cooperated with the investigation. Ayanna and LaRon were also brought in for questioning, but LaRon was, you know, they took their time with him because of his criminal past.
So when this happened, mm-hmm. her biological father, Kenya, was still in prison?
That's what they're saying, yes. And then there are two accounts, that one he was released, mm-hmm. And then the other one's that he was released 2 days after.
How is that difficult to find out?
That's what you would think, right? Like, doesn't the DOJ know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, okay.
So both Ayanna and LaRon maintain their innocence. This is her mom and her stepfather.
Okay.
In order to get Alexis's image out, hundreds of people passed out flyers, billboards,
you name it. On May 14th, 2002, investigators announced that Alexis's disappearance was the result of suspicious circumstances and had been reclassified as a criminal investigation. Months later, they said the state would believe foul play was involved. That same year, the police subpoenaed Milwaukee television stations seeking tapes of past news coverage about the case. They wouldn't state why the tapes were of interest, stating it was illegal to comment on sealed search warrants. Around the time of Alexis's disappearance, a man by the name of Brian T. Warner wrote and distributed racist flyers related to the case. He had placed them around America's Black Holocaust Museum and on shop doors and car windows, and they questioned why a white person would care about Alexis having gone missing. Werner was arrested for posting the flyers, but was later released after it was determined that his comments were protected by the First Amendment speech clause. A second man who had not been named was also involved, but no charges were ever filed against him. You're okay? You with me?
Yeah. Did they say, I guess the teachers and stuff like that, who saw her talking to the woman,
mm-hmm.
did they say like how the woman looked?
Mm-mm. Didn't say any details about that.
Can I go on?
Yeah. In August of 2002, an anonymous caller contacted a television station to say that the missing girl's remains had been disposed of in the Milwaukee River. Police searched the river, but nothing was found. Hoping to drum up some new leads, investigators looked through local sex offender registries as well as probation and parole files, but were unable to come up with anything. Numerous officers also spent many days searching for Alexis. They also got help from FBI and other state law enforcement agencies. For months, volunteers would search the city daily for the missing girl, utilizing, you know, dogs and whatnot. In January of 2003, sources familiar with the investigation shared that John Doe investigation had been launched into her disappearance, but this had never been officially confirmed. That's just another unnamed person that they think did something to her, took her, did something. Approximately a year after Alexis vanished, Laron was subject to a polygraph, which he reportedly failed. The questions he was asked has never been publicly released. That same year, he was charged with an unrelated crime after a domestic dispute with Ayana, who was trying to leave him. Described by Ayana as abusive and threatening, he was ordered to stay away from her before the charges were dropped. In 2004, Kenya, her biological father, was convicted of drug charges. In 2005, a prisoner told investigators that Alexis' remains had been buried in southern United States near a metropolitan area.
I'm confused. Because didn't they say they were found in the Milwaukee River?
That's what a tipster said she was there. That's what they thought she was initially. This is another tip.
I'm just confused how nobody seems to know what the fuck is going on. Like, did the police not go and like also find the remains?
They didn't see any remains.
Oh, okay.
Everything came up empty. They haven't found her body as of right now. They haven't.
Oh shit. Okay.
In 2005, a prisoner told investigators that Alexis' remains had been buried in the southern United States near a metropolitan area. The tip led to the search of a vacant house in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, but nothing was found. This was one of the many instances of search warrants being executed and then nothing came up. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children released an age progression photo of Alexis in 2009, which showed what she would have looked like at 14. Another would be released in 2013, showing what she would look like at 17. In 2012, police announced that they re-interviewed 60 to 65 people connected to the case, many of whom said that they can't remember correctly what happened on that Friday morning. Around this time, a relationship was reestablished with the Patterson family. It was also to be named by the Milwaukee mayor, Tom Barrett, that May 3rd would be known as Alexis Patterson Forget Me Not Day. Hoping those already incarcerated might know something about her disappearance, Milwaukee police included her image in a pack of cold case cards that were sent to jails and prisons across Wisconsin. In December of 2013, Kenny was charged with beating his 8-month-old daughter. He was charged with 3 counts of felony abuse. The child had a split lip.
What?
And Kenya's mother brought the 8-month-old to Children's Hospital, where she underwent a CT scan, and it was more than just a split lip. She had head trauma, a broken jaw, fractured rib, a lacerated liver, hemorrhaging, bruises to the face. When asked what happened the police said that Kenya's mom was told by her son that the baby had just fallen off of the bed. Bullshit.
What the fuck is wrong with this dude?
His story changed a bunch of times during that period. He pled not guilty to four charges against him. In 2016, investigators received information of a man named Joshua Miller of Bryan, Ohio, who believed his ex-wife was Alexis. So we've moved on now.
Wait. Who's Alexis?
Alexis Patterson. That's the name of the girl we're talking about.
What do you mean his ex-wife was Alexis? Oh, I see what this you're saying. That's why it threw me off. I was like, excuse me, you're jumping forward in time.
I'm going to go back.
Okay.
In July of 2016, investigators received information. You were still thinking about
what I
know. Yeah,
that's
why
I was like,
who the fuck is Alexis?
Sorry. No, okay, got it.
Okay. In July of 2016, investigators received information from a man named Joshua Miller of Bryan, Ohio, who believed his ex-wife to be Alexis. The pair had gotten married in 2009, so she would have been, age progression would have made her 17 at that time.
In 2009?
I think so. Okay. That makes sense.
What year was she born? Did you say, no.
She was born in 1995. That doesn't make sense. She would have been way too young to be married.
In 2009?
That's what it says.
14. Well, what state now?
Ohio.
That might be legal, bro.
Okay, let's just move on because this is disturbing. Oh, God. The pair had gotten married in 2009 before divorcing 4 years later. At the time Joshua's theory came to light, the pair were in the midst of a custody battle over their son. According to Joshua, this is the gentleman we're talking about, Joshua Miller. Mm-hmm. There were aspects of his ex-wife's past that didn't add up. She couldn't remember anything prior to 10 years old. His suspicions grew when he looked at age progressed photos of Alexis versus his ex-wife. Hoping to confirm his suspicions, Joshua traveled to Milwaukee with his son to meet Ayana. While there, he gave samples of his son's DNA to Ayana, which is Alexis's biological mom, and they collected samples, and that was tested. After Ayana reached out to who she believes is Alexis.
Wait, so did the samples match?
Can I finish, girl?
Sorry.
They did not match. Sorry, the DNA did not match. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that right now. On the DNA samples returned back from the Wisconsin Regional Crime Lab, it was determined that the two samples did not match, meaning Joshua's ex-wife was not Alexis. Ayana questioned the results, saying that it could have been corrupted or whatnot. So they sent in her DNA to test the woman's. And again, it came back and it was not a match either.
Oh, sorry, I cut you off. Mm-hmm. You said that Ayana reached out to that woman?
She reached out to Alexis, yeah, who she believed to be Alexis. And as of today, the Milwaukee Sheriff's Office is currently offering $10,000 in reward for any information seeking to Alexis's return. Yeah, man.
Sorry, that didn't go anywhere, but that's often the case of disappearances. I'm honestly so pissed because it's like everybody failed that little girl. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
Yeah.
All of her parents.
All of her teachers.
All of her teachers. It's part of the reason I was like, I don't know if I want kids. If my daughter tells me that some lady was talking to her at school, mm-hmm. bitch is cracking. I'm going with you. We're going to school together the next day. We're about to see what's good. How in the fuck do you just let your kid go like, oh, well, that's weird. I don't understand.
My theory is that LaRon, the stepfather, somehow was involved in the disappearance. The stepfather. Or even the father. They were both
That shit doesn't make any sense. How they're like, when did he get out of jail? Was it this day or this day?
Yeah. What? Exactly. It's like, y'all know when someone was released.
But so they're both very violent, mm-hmm. clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But you think it's the stepdad over the
dad? I think it's the stepdad over the dad.
What makes you think that? It's because I don't have no theories. So what, you think somebody did kill her?
I think she's deceased, yeah.
But why do you think it's the stepdad?
Just because he was violent with the mom? That's not, I feel like you already have that. I don't feel like that's something that like continues to progress. I mean, I guess it does progress, but I feel like it was already probably a part of their relationship. Mm. And yeah, he was the last person to have dropped her off at school. Like, what did she say to her before? But it also could be the father because he was also violent with his 8-month-old daughter. But this was many years later, right?
When the dad Did it say anywhere, like, when the dad had gotten out of prison, was he seeing her?
It didn't seem that way. No, it didn't seem like he was had any relationship with her.
Because it doesn't even, it's not even something where it's like, oh, the dad could have snatched her and like went off with her somewhere, just like to take his kid back or whatever. But like the dad's still in and out of prison in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Just the kind of something you said in there made me think too, like, I wonder if it's one of those really sick situations where it's like the mom and the stepdad mm-hmm. did something to her,
yeah.
sold her to somebody or like some fucked up
thing.
Well,
there would be some sick shit for Ayanna to be participating. Well, it would,
but oh it's like gosh. If that man had like this crazy hold on her or whatever, like sure. that's why she was trying to leave him.
Sure. But even past that, even now that she's broken up with him and they've now living separate lives.
That's true. Cause she's like,
I can understand protecting him then, but now protecting him now.
Oh, that's, I mean, yeah, that's true. But unless I guess that would like implicate herself.
Sure,
maybe.
Sure. Everybody failed this little girl.
Everybody is real fucked up.
It's messed up.
Oh my God.
Let me cite my source here. So this is from the website storiesoftheunsolved.com. Contact the Milwaukee Police Department if you have any information about the disappearance. As of today, she would be 24 years old.
Poor thing. Mm-hmm. Poor baby. Fun dip.
Fun dip. I guess it's fun.
Is it happy? Is it funny?
No, it's just one of the things that you need to think about.
Okay.
At the same moment you're doubting yourself, there is someone else intimidated by your potential. Paul Brunson.
Interesting.
Don't be out here doubting yourself, friends.
That's the moral.
Yes.
No doubt.
It is always a pleasure to be here. Thank you for listening. This is a long one. I hope you stuck through it.
thank you if you made it to the end. Follow us at 6 Feet Forever on Instagram and Twitter. And I think that's it. Do you have any more news before we get the F out?
Nah.
All right, guys. Have a blessed week and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.